Okay. Okay, thank you, the Miller, Rabbi Kahana, all the people who are here. So today is Rosh Chodesh Adar, so officially we could speak about Purim. So we'll speak a little bit. We're not going to do this whole pack. Maybe some we'll do here, some we'll do with the faculty. Okay. So if you look at the first page in the packet, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleim v'al zaram v'al kol ha-nilvim aleim v'lo yavar li-yososim v'shnei ha-yomim v'ele k'chsovim chuzmanim v'chol shana v'shana. So kimu v'kiblu. What does this mean? That they accepted the Torah. Because if you look, maybe we'll have some participation. If we look at page 2, so we have this famous chazal of what? Of, if you look here, Vayitzatzvu with the arrow, second arrow. Vayitzatzvu b'sach t'zahar amar avdimi barachama barachas melamed shekofa ha-kadosh baruch olem esahar kigigis. Have you ever heard of that statement? Please feel free to participate. If anyone heard of that statement of Kofa Aleim Har Kigigis. Anyone? That means that when the Torah was given, it was given under duress. Meaning, literally it means that Hashem took the mountain and put it over the heads and said, if you accept the Torah, fine. And if not, I'll just drop it. Then you'll all... Whether this is to be taken literally or figuratively, you know, that's a different question. But it was some type of being forced to accept the Torah. So that's what it says. Amar Vidi Barachamar Malamet Shekofa HaKadosh Baruch HaLem Zahar Kigigis Amar Lehem. If you accept the Torah, fine. Here will be your burial, meaning we'll drop it and then you'll all die on the spot. That's what it means literally. Now, what would you think is the obvious question to be asked on this Gemara, that they were forced to accept the Torah? Right, so that's, what's your name?
Aviv.
So Aviv says very well, if it's forced, it shouldn't be valid, right? That the whole acceptance of the Torah shouldn't be valid. Somebody forces you to sell them something or do something. It's being forced. So it shouldn't be valid. Any other comments?
Shimon Wortkin, Moshe Harriman, Ari Novick, Ryan Ellis, Elon Franklin, to room 222 to see Miss Septimus.
So why would Hashem put them in a situation where they had to choose either the Torah or their life?
Right, you're saying, why would...
Why would Hashem put us in a situation where he's pretty much forcing us to accept the Torah? Or death?
So what meaning, are you saying that, like she said, that it shouldn't be valid? Or are you saying something different?
Why would Hashem put us in this situation?
In other words, why would Hashem do it? What would you think Hashem should have done? Then?
Should have just asked.
Asked. Yeah. Asked, do we want to accept? And he would say yes or no. Okay, that's also a very interesting point. Any other comments?
Is it like a way to show that, like, without Torah, there's no point to life either?
What's your name?
Ali.
Ali. So right, Ali's saying also a very interesting thing, that maybe Hashem is showing us that if we don't accept the Torah, so then there's no point in living. But, right, as Rav Shechter mentioned from the Maral, it's like, that, in other words, the Kabbalah of the Torah is not because we decided. Right, that's what Rav Shechter said from the Maral, that's, you know, which would imply that, you know, whereas you think, you know, you have a rational mind, so you could decide what you think, Hashem's saying, no, if I'm going to leave it up to you, then that's not going to be such a good thing, because maybe you'll decide. And then, and as you pointed out, as I'm saying, if you don't have the Torah, you'll be missing everything to life. What's your name?
Maybe it's because, like, Hashem's telling Bnei Yisrael that it's not what can kill them, it's what can protect them if they do accept the Torah and His power.
Right. Okay.
Maybe he's forcing them now, because he knew in the future that they would, and like when Tavu Hashverosh said they would really accept the Torah during the Torah story, Kimu the Kibu, that's when they really accepted it. They're trying to like train them and prepare them from before by forcing them.
How are you being prepared from before?
That's by for example, let's say you're trying to like train a kid, it's kind of like guiding them in a way, because like he doesn't say that they're gonna willingly accept.
Okay, you all said very valid thing, but let me ask you one question. With your knowledge of the Chumash, when did Klal Yisrael accept the Torah? What's the famous two words in the Torah? Nasev v'nishma. So isn't that a little bit contradictory? That Nasev v'nishma seemingly means that we accept it, right? So if they said that, why was it necessary to force them? They already said they could accept it. It's like, they already said yes. So, what are you gonna? You hear the question? If they already said Nasa Vinishma, so then what's the point of forcing? They already said Nasa Vinishma. So how would you answer that question? In other words, you're saying that maybe meaning what?
They said it earlier, but did they mean it?
Did they mean it?
It was their first way of communicating with God, but now after they've seen like all the miracles that happened in Egypt, they understand like that Hashem is real and how close they are to Him. So it's a way of proving that they actually believe in it instead of just saying it just because they could.
So it means they said they would accept it, but Hashem was what? Wasn't sure that they meant it, or?
Yeah, it could be just like a way to see if they meant it. Just a second, like.
And then you're going to force them, and then they're going to say what?
They said yes also.
They say yes also, but would that show that they really meant it? I mean, I would think just the opposite. The fact that they said they weren't threatened, and they said yes. So now you're going to threaten them, they'll say yes. Of course they're going to say yes if they're threatened. So it's not going to necessarily show a better standing if you, the first time, I'm not threatened, and I say yes. So now you're going to threaten me, and I'm going to say yes? That doesn't show, right? Which shows more?
Maybe it shows that like they have a trust in Hashem. Like they know that God wouldn't do that. Or it was just a way for them to like you should fear God. The whole reason that he did it was to prove that there's fear that should exist, but it should also be out of the love of your heart.
So which one was which?
The first one was just like a conversation, and the second one was part like an action and a connection there.
Okay. What do you want to say?
Maybe that they said Nasev v'nishma because like just to,
what's your name?
Talia. They said Nasev v'nishma, but this was really to like impress into them like the full consequences and the full heaviness of it. That isn't just like, oh, you can like say Nasev v'nishma and be on your way, but like it is really serious. You have to take it seriously and it has consequences.
Okay.
To add on to Tony's point.
What's your name?
Daniel. They had already, chronologically, they already said that they were going to go Nasev v'nishma beforehand. So Hashem was holding them to their agreement because there might have been a reason why they would want to back out.
What would be?
I do know a few because I did an Torah on this, but I think one of them was that they were afraid their souls would end up leaving their bodies due to Hashem's presence.
So let's look in the Tosas here on the top of the page on page 2. And Tosis asks the question. He says, "Va'afal pi shikvar hikdimu nasan l'nishma." And so, therefore, the question is: so, if they've already said it, so what are you threatening them for? Shema yiyu chozrim k'sheyiru ha'esh hagdola. In other words, they said Nafsa v'nishma, but then when they come to the site of Maimar HaSinai, when they see all the fire and all the, you know, the thunder and everything was going on, you know, they'll get cold feet. And that's how Tosis explains it. So that's why they needed something else to make sure they went through with it. Because, as you all said in different ways, that they could say Nasa V'nishma, like we said, casually, but now when it's the time to commit, so to speak, and now they're getting the Torah, and they're seeing, being at Maimar HaSinai was a very daunting experience, so that's it. They would retract and say, we can't go through with this. And therefore they needed that extra push. That's what Tosis is. Let's look now on page 3 and 4. So page 3 is the Medrash Tanchuma. Have you ever learned Medrash Tanchuma in your life? Yes or no? Yes or no? No? Sure you did. When did you learn Medrash Tanchuma?
Through Rashi, but not
really. Ah, okay, that's it. Through Rashi, because Rashi is always quoting Medrash Rabba, Medrash Tanchuma, so you've learned a lot of it. Maybe you never opened the Medrash Tanchuma right away, but Rashi is like a lot of quotations of different Midrashim. What were they? Medrash Tanchuma, Medrash Rabba, what other Midrashim are there? Let me ask you a question. Medrash Tanchuma and Medrash Rabba, what are they called? What kind of Medrash are they?
Agadah.
Medrash Agadah, right. They're Agadah, as opposed to?
That's a Halacha.
What are the Medrash Halacha? And this again, Rashi, every time, is quoting. So like this. Shmos doesn't have, well, let's say Brachos. So Brachos, you're either going to have a Medrash Rabba or Medrash Tanchuma. Come out with the whole Brachos. Because there's not so much halacha in Brachos. In Shmos is going to be more halacha. And what's the Medrash on Shmos called? The Mechilta. Mem, Chaf, Yud, Lamed, Tof, Aleph. And you'll see, next time you read Rashi, at the end of the Rashi, he'll always, in parentheses, he'll say Mechilta, or, right? He'll tell you where he's, and maybe one day you'll actually get these books and actually look in the original source. Like, you'll be trained to look up where Rashi's getting it from. Because usually Rashi's not saying his original things. Most of the things he's quoting, different Midrashim, etc. So the two main Medrash Agada Awat, the Medrash Rabba, and the Medrash Tanchuma. And then you have what? Mechilta is just on. And what's on Vayikra? Which one?
I think it's Sifra.
What's the way to remember it? Vayikra is with a Aleph. Fra with a Aleph. That's what I remember, right? Right, so that's a Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. Sifra, Samach Pei Reish Aleph. And what's another way to call the Sifra? The Toras Kohanim. Toras Kohanim is the Sifra. That's the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. And now, what about Bamidbar Dvarim?
Sifri.
What's your name?
Helene.
Excellent. Okay. So we got it. So what is the Medrash Tanchuma asks the same question as Tosis. Is what's the Nasiv, what's the duress if they were what? If they already said Mad, Nasa Finishma. So let's see it. Yeah, page 4. Two lines from the bottom, on the top part. Vim Tomar, Al Tor Shibichsav, Kofolei Mesahar. In other words, what was the duress for Tor Shibichsav or Tor Shibalpeh? He says, Halob Mishasha Omar Lahem Mikablam Atemes Atorah. So once they Amu Kulam Amu Nasav Nishma, they already said Nasav Nishma. So what's the duress? Bipnei. So he says no, because Torah Shebichsav ain bo yigiyav etzar v'hi ma'at. If you think about it, Torah Shebichsav is not as difficult. It's, you know, it's more than a simple psukim. It's not as it's relatively small compared to what the Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Sheb El Omar Lahan Al Torah Shebalpeh. That's what. Right, so that was the cough, that was the under duress. Because that's much more complicated. That's much more difficult, right? To open up a Gemara, all the Gemaras, all the, you know, Mishnais, everything, that's huge. So that was a much bigger undertaking than what? Torah Sheh Bechtav. So the Dasa V'Nishma was going on, Torah Sheh Bechtav. And the Chof Olam Harkigigis was going on Torah Shabalpeh. El Omar Lehem Ala Torah Shabalpeh Sheyesh Ba Diktuke Mitzvahs Kalos V'Chamuros. Excellent. And he also come up with Kosher Kishol. It's difficult. It's up. And if you really want to do it, you need a big commitment. The Fisha Ein Lo Met Osa Lo Misha Oe V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Bechol libo, bechol nafsho, bechol meodo, shenema, v'havto, shem elchechem, bechol vavcho, bechol nafsho, bechol meodech. Okay. So again, so we had two questions. We had one question with two answers. What was the question? What was the purpose of what?
The second time.
Of the kof aleihem hakigigis, of forcing them, if they were ready, what? Said Nasa v'nishma. So Tosis's answer is? Because they accepted it, but there was a fright that maybe when they actually get to the site of Maimon Har Sinai and they see all the drama and all the fire and all the thunders, they'll get frightened, they'll back out. So therefore, they needed the extra push. Right, that was the Tosis's answer, and the Medrash Tanchuma's answer is what. Right, the Torah Shebichsav was Naseh V'Nishma, because that's relatively easier. And the Torah Shebalpeh was under... that was the Hargigigis, right. Oh. So, one second. So, let's... Yeah. Because it's a much bigger commitment. Yeah, everything's relative. So now let's look back on page 2. The Gemara says, "It's when the brackets end." Let's keep going. Amar of Acha. The last word on the line is Acha, right at the end of the end bracket. That line, you see it. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mikan Modo Rabba Lo Raisa. That what? This is what you said. What's your name again?
Aviv.
Aviv said, the whole thing, the whole acceptance of the Torah, if it was under duress, was what? could be contested, right? Because it was under duress. So that's why I'm a Rav Afal Pikein. Hadar v'kiblua b'mei Achashverosh. So there was a second Kabbalah Satorah in the time of Chaver, meaning Purim. And that's what? Kimu v'kiblu, that they accepted Kimu v'shekiblu kvar, that they re-accepted the Torah at that time. So now, so according to the Tanchuma, so what did they re-accept? Torah Peralpeh, because that was the one that was the questionable one, right? So that was the so let me show you something very interesting. So the Torah Peralpeh was the whole acceptance at the time of Purim. Torah Peralpeh. Now, there is a Mishnah. Let's take a look in Pirkei Avos. And perhaps we'll give a new meaning to what? To the simcha of Purim. I have a son. He was born on Purim. One of my sons. So what did we name him? Mordechai. Yeah, so Mordechai was a possibility. And in fact, Rav Miller and I, we were together in the Lower East Side. So Rav David Feinstein has a son. His name was Mordechai Feinstein. So when I had my son, he said to me, I don't want to tell you what you should name your son, but Mordechai is a very nice name. But my wife had another idea. So we named him Avraham Simcha. Avraham was my great grandfather, Zichron Levracha, and Simcha was because of Purim. So that was the name, Avraham Simcha. And Mordechai, we'll leave it to someone else. So what's the Simcha of Purim? So I'm going to show you something beautiful. Let's look on page 8. Page 8 is what? Is Pirkei Avos with the parish of the who? Ruach Chaim. Who's the Ruach Chaim? Look at the bottom. Ruach Chaim of Pirkei Avos, what's the second line? What does it say? Rab Chaim, me. Anyone can read that one? Well? Mivolozhin. Right? Rav Chaim Mivolozhin. Right? You heard there was a famous yeshiva, Volozhin, the Volozhin yeshiva. Okay, if you didn't hear about it, now you do. And Rav Chaim Volozhin was the famous Talmud. Who was his famous Rebbe? No, that's some... No. Who was his famous Rebbe? Rav Chaim Volozhin is a Rebbe. The Vilna Gaon. Okay. So it says like this. Rabban Gamliel Omer. Asei lecha rav. Vistalek min hasafik. You should have a rav. You should have a rebbe. And vistalek min hasafik means you should
rise above the
doubt. So what's the connection? Why?
Because you
take
the teaching.
Right. In other words, if you have a question, you don't know. You know, is this kosher? Is it not kosher? Is it mutter, usher? So you have an address to go to, right? You have someone to ask. So that's what he says. Look at Rav Chaim Volozhin's parish here. Asei lecha rav lish'ol mimenu kol davar shemistapek lecha. Anything that you have a doubt, you have a rav to ask him. Ubezeh tistalek min hasafik. And then you won't have a suffik. And then he says a very important thing. Val tomer she'eincha tzorich l'rav. Because one could say, I don't need a Rav. Well, what's the alternative if I don't have a Rav?
Just be Machmir.
Just be Machmir. Right. What's your name?
Joel.
Just be Machmir. Very simple. I don't know. So I won't be Makel, but every time. I don't know for sure. Usser. So that's all, you know. So he says, no, that's not a good way. Go to your Rav and ask him. Maybe the answer is that it's permissible. So then he says, Al toma she'echa tzarech l'rav, ki chol dova she'yistapek l'cha tachmir misafik. Ze omar al tarbe laser umudos rotsolomer, brosha also vichay meiser mi umar hadas, b'chashah shem yitain yosef, yu masos b'kukolim, ke yochol ovo l'dei kilkol y'machmir b'lo das. So what's the last thing? Al tarbe, what's the third thing? Laser umados, meaning two most meiser is no good because meiser is an exact. It has to be a tenth. If more than a tenth, then that's not meiser. And if you're to treat it like meiser, that's not right. So don't think that you're going to be machmir and it's going to be good, because you can make yourself problems if you're just being machmir. So the best thing is what? Asei lecha rav. And the Rav is the oral tradition. That's going to be the Torah Shabbat Peh, because you don't look it up in a book. You have an oral tradition of somebody you can speak to, and Asei Lecha Rav, and then the Stalek Min Hasafik, and this way you won't have any any doubts. Okay. So I want to show you two more things. I'm going to put it all together, hopefully before the bell rings. Okay. Let's see here, page 6. Shut HaRamah. Did you ever hear of the Ramah? Yes. Who is the Ramah? The Ashkenaz Rabbi. He's the commentary on Shulchan Aruch. And who's the other commentary? Right, so between the two of them, there is the Shulchan Aruch, right? So Shut Ramah, so what does Shut mean? That's Shuk. What's Shut? Shin Vav Tav. You see that? Shut HaRamah. What does that mean? What? Shailot U'Tshuvot. In other words, like you have a lot of rabbis, like Rav Avdi Yosef, he wrote a lot of Shailot U'Tshuvot. People asked him a question, and then he writes back an answer. So Shut is Reshei Tevos Shailot U'Tshuvot. So these are the questions that the Ramah receives. In other words, besides writing his commentary, writing the parts of the Shulchan Aruch that he disagreed with the Rav Yosef Karo, he has another sefer called Shut HaRamah, the Shailos and Shuvas that he responded to the people who he asked them. Okay? So there are a lot of interesting Shailos and Shuvas, but I'm going to show you one line in that it's not even his. He's quoting somebody else, and we're not exactly even sure who this person is that he's quoting. Okay, so you want to help me out on page 7? You want to read it to yourself and then tell me what it means? One line. You see, I bracket it. Kimamar hachacham. You see it? Page 7? You know where the bracket is? On the right side? Kimamar hachacham ki lo ta'am tam simcha Mishalotam Simchas Sveikas Vahatarasam. Others quote it as a shorter phrase, Ein Simcha Kehataras Hasveikos. The different versions of it. So tell me what that means. Let's give someone else a chance.
Resolving a doubt hasn't tasted
something. Right, exactly. Right. In other words, a lot of times in life we're going to have doubts about a lot of things in life. You're going to have a doubt what school you're going to go to when you graduate, what seminary or yeshiva in Israel, what job you're going to wear, who you're going to marry, all these things. so many doubts that you could have in life. And then finally, when you resolve the doubt, you feel, oh, you know, now I see clarity. Ein simcha, katarsa said, k'marmer hachacham, as the wise person said. So we're not even 100% sure who this wise. Some say it was the Rambam. Some say maybe it wasn't even a Jewish person necessarily. But it's the adage of the wise person of Ein Simcha Kataras HaSfekos. Here he writes in more verbose. He lo tam simcha. No one tasted the taste of happiness. Mi shelo tam simchas sfekos v'hatarasa. Someone who has the taste of to be in doubt and then to be out of the doubt, to have clarity. That's the ultimate simcha. Okay. One more thing I'm going to show you and then we're going to put it all together. So what's coming up? This last Shabbos was what? Shabbos of Rochim. What else was it? Shkolim. And this Shabbos, we get a Shabbos off for the right, and then yeah. And what's the next one? Zachor. It's about Amalek. Nu, who are the mathematicians here? What is the numerical value of Amalek? Let's do it together. Ayin. Ayin is 70. Mem? 40. So that's what? 110. Lamed? 30. That's 140. And Kuf? 100. So what is it? 240. Okay. 240. Okay. Suffolk. What is the Samech? 60. Pay? 80. 60 and 80 is what? 140. And Kuf? 240. So the Imre Yosef, the speaker Rebbe, but others say this as well. On page 10, the second arrow. We need Noda Masha Mavuar. Take the second arrow on page 10. Hine noda mashemavuar. Anyone can help me with this Rashi Tevos? Bisfarim hakadoshim. Bisfarim hakadoshim usually means like the Hasidic masters, like the Baal Shem and others. Bisfarim hakadoshim ki amalek hu mispar safek. That amalek is the numerical value, the gematria of 240, which is the same value of safek. Because Amalek wants to make us confused. Asher korcha baderech wants to make us confused, wants to make us not sure, you know. And when you're not sure, and you get depressed, and you get sad, and you get anxiety, all the things that, you know, that we don't want to have. That's Amalek. Okay, so now let's put it all together. What did we say? Purim, the Medrash Tanchuma says that the Kabbalah Satorah that we needed, that we're lacking, according to the Medrash Tanchuma, is what? Is Torah She Baal Peh. And Torah She Baal Peh is the oral tradition, and that's the concept of the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos of Aseh Lecha Rav, because that will be your oral connection. You'll go to your Rav, and you'll be able to discuss the question, and you'll get a resolution. And that's going to cause what? And because Ein Simcha Kataras Ha Sveikos. And that we saw where? Where did we see that statement? No. We saw that in the Shut Ramah. And then what did we say? What did we see in Pirkei Avos? That it says, Aseh Lecha Rav, and the point of having a Rav, one of the points is what? What is the statement after? Aseh Lecha Rav, Vistalek, Min HaSafek. and you should. This way you'll avoid and that and if you don't have safek, what does that cause you? Simcha. And what is Purim about? Purim is about the acceptance of the oral tradition, and hence brings us simcha. Not only the simcha of the, you know, that we were going to get killed, and you know, when there was a decree against us, but this idea as well. And that was the idea. And this applies to your very lives as well, because especially at this time in your life, when you're going to have a lot of crossroads. You know, Bezer Shem, you'll finish high school, and then there's going to be a crossroad. What's next? And then you're going to have then you finish the next step. And then what's next? And there's going to be a lot of crossroads of which way to go. And you need, and as old, as bright as well you may be, but you know, we don't always have, at the age we are now, enough life experience to know what is the best way to go. And that's why it's always good to have a Rav. You could have a Rav, you know, for halacha. You could have, as the Rabbeinu Yonah speaks, you could have a Rav friend for advice. But that requires, you know, more maturity, more life experience to somebody who, and if, therefore, if you get a relationship with your teachers, with your mentors, and they can give you the best advice, because the best advice is given to somebody that they understand you. You're not just another name. They understand who you are, they understand your background, they understand your family. And if you have that, they say there was a big Talmud Chacham lived in Brooklyn. Actually, he lived in Vilna. Then he was in Brooklyn. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael. His name was Rav Yisrael Gustman. He was the big Talmud of the Gadol Hador in Europe. Who was the Gadol Hador in Europe? One of them, at least. Rav Chaim Ozer Grodzensky. So he would say the following statement. He said, when somebody asks me a shaila, first what I do is I paskin up the person. I try to understand what's the person, who he is, who she is, what they're all about. Because in halacha, not everything goes, but there could be more than one correct halachic psak. And maybe one psak is more suited for this person and one psak is more suited for the other person. So he says, first I try to understand the person. After I paskin up the person, then I paskin the shaila. And that's the simcha of Purim. That's the simcha of Haftaras HaSveikos. That's the simcha of Purim, of Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's exactly our fight against Amalek. Because Amalek is what? 240? Creates the Safek. And in our lives, we want to have clarity. Again, you can always have questions, doubt, self-doubt, and so on. But we try to have as much clarity as we want, and this way we can proceed in whatever the next step in our lives is going to be. We'll have clarity and we'll have simcha, because ain't simcha kataras asveikos. So now's the time. Asei lecha rav. You have a rav, rebbetzin, whatever. Asei lecha rav, and then what? Histalek ben hasafik. So I wish you all much success, much simcha and Purim, but much success in this idea in your lives, and this is something that's going to be relevant for you for the rest of your life.
The simcha is in being mater all this week.
Thank you, Rabbi.
That's a great
story. Thank you.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Can we send it?
We're going to send it.
We'll send it to you.